Hello, and welcome back to the Profiling Podcast Series, introducing you to the members of the International Water Association's Digital Water Program Steering Committee. For those of you joining us for the first time today, the IWA Digital Water Program is on a mission to provide a platform for water utilities to explore and share experiences on their digital water journey. The program has provided roadmaps and guidance that will help utilities in making the transition to the next generation of smart water systems and fulfill the need for improved resiliency to secure and sustainably manage water resources now and in the future. The Steering Committee conceptualizes and produces these and other outputs of the program, including white papers, books, webinars, and podcast series like this. I am Erin Jordan, Strategic Programs Officer at the IWA, coordinating the Digital Water Program. And my guest today is Wim Oudenaert, co-founder and CEO of AM Team. Wim recently became a member of the Digital Water Program Steering Committee and was one of the keynote speakers at the just concluded 2023 IWA Digital Water Summit in Bilbao, Spain. Welcome to the podcast, Wim.
Thanks, Erin. Thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure being here.
Awesome. Thank you for giving your time to being a part of this series. So straight off the bat, just like all of the episodes that we've done so far, give the listeners a bit of an idea of who Wim is. Tell us who you are.
Yeah, sure. I'm a Belgian. I'm Wim Oudenaert. I'm now 37 years old. I always have difficulties with my own age because it changes every single year. Oh, that's such a difficulty. And so I'm married. I have four kids. I know what to do. I never get bored. my educational background is master's and PhD degrees in environmental engineering, obtained at Ghent University in Belgium. This is also where I started my career in the water industry at Ghent University. So I even started with my PhD, my master thesis, where I actually designed a wastewater treatment plant for a music festival. And this was really one of the first in the world. And it really worked out well. I did that for a couple of years after that as well. But then in the meantime, I started my PhD at Ghent University, also in the wastewater and water industry. So I work both on drinking water and wastewater and physical, chemical, and also biological treatment technology, and a lot of the modeling of these processes. So process modeling has been really an important part of my historical work. Then I started my academic career. I started teaching environmental regulation and policy, which for 3 years at Ghent University, combined with research in the water field. I loved that. The students also loved that, but still, I was not sure if this was really for me. And then I decided, together with some other colleagues, to found AM Team in 2017. And this is where we are today.
That's very interesting. listening to you give a background of yourself kind of shocked me. I had no idea that you were 37. You look much younger. But what I wanted to ask, as you mentioned, you weren't sure if teaching or academia, the academia path, was the correct path for you. And then together with some of your colleagues, you started AM Team. So what exactly was the inspiration behind AM Team?
Yeah, so I started this business together with Ingmar Nopen. So he is a professor at Ghent University, and he was also the PhD supervisor of myself and my other co-founder, Usman Rehman. We concluded that our industry needs more modeling, more good modeling, because we are facing some big challenges, also some big opportunities, and models can be so helpful, but they are not being applied sufficiently. And we thought, okay, guys, we have accumulated some unique, really some globally unique capabilities here. What if we would put this in a business? And yeah, this is what we started talking about in 2015, 16, and then the company was founded in 2017. And what is really the philosophy behind this company? Well, the name itself comes from the A-Team. So the A-Team, many people are familiar with that television series from the 70s, 80s. Yeah, so we wanted to be kind of a special force. So let's try to do stuff that really advances our industry. Maybe not the most easy things, but let's try to generate a lot of impact. But also the name itself, the A-Team or AM Team, reflects fun. And fun is another core value of AM Team. So fun, team spirit is in there. Yeah. So pushing the boundaries, it's all in the name. So that's really the philosophy behind the business. We're here to cause a real positive change at the global level. And we have been pushing for years, but we were glad that we could have some breakthroughs. It's not easy to do this, but we're quite happy with where we are today.
That's good to hear. Also a familiar name, Ingmar Noppens, who is an alumnus of the IWA Disorder Program Steering Committee as well. He was in the first cohort. So it's good to see that the Digital Water Program is benefiting from two minds of AM Team. So as you mentioned, you guys, you know, you thought that the water sector, the water industry needed some more efficient modeling. So I wanted to ask you, how is it being an entrepreneur in this water industry? And why do you think entrepreneurship is important?
Yeah, that's, entrepreneurship is really, it's broad, of course, but it was for me the reason leave academia and to start a business, because it's so dynamic, regardless of which industry, I think. I'm not saying that it will make everybody happy, but if you're a bit made for it, it is really fantastic to do such a thing. And entrepreneurship in the water industry has, of course, an added dimension, which is very important, which is societal impact. So if you can build a successful business in the water industry, where you really help improving our environment, improving the water quality, right? So reducing carbon footprint. If you can really contribute to that, and while building your business, yeah, this is really great, I think. So it gives a lot of energy. How is it to be an entrepreneur in the water industry? Well, just like any other industry, it is very specific. What I find very specific in the water industry is that you don't really have a lot of standardization. Look at the utilities. Every country, even every region, is unique. So utilities are typically government or partially government owned bodies, let's say. They all have their own languages, culture. Innovation is very different across countries, the speed of innovation. Also, the status of how advanced treatment and infrastructure is so diverse. What else? So the plants, for example, if you look at treatment plants, the size of them, the variety of them, how they look, how they are built, how they are operated, it's also different. So it's a very specific industry that is also, of course, impacted by regulation, environmental regulation, local regulation, big trends, for example, climate impact, climate mitigation is a very important topic, but also preparing, mitigating the impact, because water scarcity is popping up. So I think it's a highly dynamic industry. It is a highly specific industry. You have to really understand these specifics per country, per utility. People often say it is slow in innovating. I agree and disagree. I agree because treatment infrastructure has a long lifetime, 20 years, 25, 30 years. And that makes, that you cannot easily test new technologies. There are certain barriers. But on the other hand, there are so many challenges that cause dynamics to be enormous. Look at the greenhouse gas emissions. Look at the emerging contaminants. look at new infrastructure that has to be built in countries that don't have it yet. So it's a very interesting industry with so many dynamics. And I'm very, very glad to be part of that.
It's an interesting outlook, you know, because many of us, and I say us because I'm also a young water professional, many of us, when we come out of school, our, you know, first thought is to find a job in a company. But hearing it from the perspective of an entrepreneur and a successful entrepreneur is also interesting. So it sounds like you have a lot to say. And I've heard that you are writing a book on sciencepreneurship. This is a new word. I've never heard this word before. It's like converting science into business. So first of all, where did you come up with this name? And secondly, why did you decide to write about this?
Yeah, I was a few years ago, I think it was 2016, 17 or so, I was thinking about a new initiative. I was going through this process myself, transitioning from a researcher / academic to a businessman. But in training, I'm still in training. I would say it's a lot of training, but you try to build a business. And how do you translate what you have built or found in science to a successful business? So going through that process myself, I discovered that it's very difficult, and I'm not the only one struggling with it. It is actually a massive challenge. But this is a little bit an issue because I strongly believe what has been developed in science has so much societal value, potentially. So this last word is very important, potentially. Potentially means if you have somebody or multiple people bringing it to society, and what is a very good way to bring it to society? With a business that has an interest in selling it. I was thinking about a terminology for that. And I was Googling a little bit and doing some brainstorming, and then I thought, okay, let's combine science and entrepreneurship and let's call it sciencepreneurship. And that's why I came with that name. And I also have reserved the domain name sciencepreneurship.com, because I want to do a couple of things with that in the future as well. But now indeed I'm writing a book. I was planning to write a book on that, but then a Belgian publisher approached me. And then I said, okay, let's not postpone it any longer. let's do it. So I will try to write down a couple of reflections that I have up until now in that book.
Very interesting. I actually am looking forward to this. I giggled when you said you already reserved the domain name. You're quick. All right.
We have to.
You're quick. Now, you mentioned about, you know, having the opportunity as an entrepreneur to affect change given the global water challenges. And recently you delivered a very energizing and inspirational keynote at the Digital Water Summit in Bilbao. So the topic of your keynote was the water industry in the digital era, meeting challenges with innovation. Can you give us an idea about what motivated you to speak about this? Was it also similar to your motivation to become an entrepreneur, or was it something else, or is it a combination of these things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are definitely links. So I was talking about entrepreneurship in the water industry, and then you have the entrepreneurship in digital in the water industry. And to me, the digital space is so interesting, because the change that is going to happen in the coming 5, 10, 15 years is just dramatic in all of our industries, but also the water industry. So what was the reason for this keynote? Why have I been really thinking a lot about that? Is because I believe digital, so in any form, has enormous potential to solve our biggest issues, to help solving our biggest issues. I'm naming a few of them. Water scarcity, which can be an impact of a result of climate change. Climate change itself, so mitigating the impact. The aging of workforce, pushing the boundaries of infrastructure. So you have a whole list of them, you know, and digital tools can be so helpful in that space. Now, why did I put that presentation together? Because I believe there are some pitfalls. What are the pitfalls? Digital is so broad. It's so broad. It can be everything. So people in our industry have a hard, right now, at this very moment in time, have hard times believing or understanding what is it? What does it mean, actually, digital, digitalization? Secondly, it's also very vague. What is the business case, guys? Can anyone explain me in layman terms how you could reduce energy with a digital tool, or how you could reduce the emissions with a digital tool? Yeah, so we need examples. So that these are the pitfalls. So the reason of my talk was really to put forward to some principles. I believe that would be very, very helpful in accelerating this transformation. Three principles I highlighted were to be practical and patient. That's one thing. So this means practical. What do I mean with that is you have to couple the readiness of a tool with really the need in the market. Because if there is no need or there's no pain being felt, it's very hard to be successful with a digital tool. A second one was also educating our industry. Which tools are out there? Which problems are they already solving today? Can you show examples in a very tangible way of other utilities? And the third one was also collaboration, collaborate, because there are so many tools, so many platforms coming, so many different approaches. But in the end, we will have to collaborate to make the whole thing work. Because as I said before, the water industry is very specific, very diverse, and there is no one solution fits it all. So this means collaboration will be of enormous importance. So these were the points I really wanted to highlight. On one hand, the potential, but on the other hand, what are the barriers standing in the way reaching that potential, and how can we then overcome those barriers?
It's important that you mention collaboration and understanding as well how to improve or how to use digital tools efficiently in order to address water challenges. And one thing is to have these conversations with like-minded professionals, but also professionals who are, I don't want to use the word outside, but for lack of a better word, outside of the digital sphere, how to get them included, because as you said, collaboration is important. So as I said, this keynote was at the Digital Water Summit. This is for the listeners. This keynote was at the Digital Water Summit we had here in Bilbao, Spain. So it's the second year, the second edition of this event that we held. It's a new event for IWA. It's a B2B, business to business. And we invite, you know, we get a lot of solutions providers, utilities, technology experts, and water sector, water industry experts at the event. So, Wim, given your motivation behind your keynote at the summit, and also, you know, your experience at the summit, can you just share your thoughts a bit about how you felt with the event and maybe the importance of these events to that help with the digital transformation of the water sector?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I liked the event very much because of the strategic importance for our industry. So I believe this event will only grow, has to grow, and has to become a key event, I think, in our industry, because it is such an important topic, as I explained before, digital. You cannot neglect it anymore. And we need to look for ways how to get it integrated, but not only that, how to accelerate the adoption of it, because it can really accelerate solving our big issues. So Digital Water Summit, I enjoyed very much because you see what's on the market, who is already very active in the space, where are the applications, what are the barriers people are facing, what are the walls they are hitting, what are the most successful or most ready use cases already. So yeah, that is fantastic that this can be found at this event. So I really hope in the future the attendance of utilities will only grow. I think we there were a lot of utilities, but still we need way more utilities, I think, at this event. Also showing, sharing their experiences and positive experiences with some applications of certain tools. And on the other hand as well, what I have noticed is it is definitely emerging. So we still have to, or IWA or everybody else contributing to that event, still have to figure out a little bit, how should it be, right? So where are we going? How should this event be structured? And it makes sense because things are changing so fast and they are so new and recent. What I hope to see in the future is that we have less of the silos. For example, people, like you said before, Aaron, people working on digital and people working on, for example, technology. Yeah, these are very separate worlds typically. And you could see that also a little bit at the event. Only few technology people that would attend other IWA events were at the summit, or the other way around. Few people that you would see at the summit would be walking around at technology-focused conferences. I hope to have a mixture in the future because, yeah, this will create the real leverage, I think. And I have given some suggestions to do that. I'm sure other people also have it. But this is definitely something I think that would offer, a lot of value for the future.
Yeah, as I said, this is the second edition, and we're constantly, you know, working on improving and making it that event, making it the event for digital. Okay, so serious stuff out there now. You know, we've spoken about entrepreneurship in the water sector and in digital water. We've spoken about your keynote at the summit. We've spoken about your background. Now, let's talk about what is fun for WIM. So when you are not working, you know, when you're not functioning as a co-founder, CEO of AM team, when you're not writing books, when you're not doing modeling, what are you doing? What do you do to decompress? How do you spend your downtime?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm still learning to use downtime. So one of my weaknesses or my working points is to have downtime. So when you ask the question, what are you doing when you're not working? I'm very often thinking about work, about the future, where are we going? It's a more high level then. Huh? But yeah, of course, not continuously. So what do I do next to that? And I try to focus more on the other aspects. Of course, first, my family, my wife, my kids. So I really try to spend a lot of time with them, playing games, helping them with school, doing some fun activities, working together a little bit in the home, in the garden. That's of course a very big private activity. It consumes a lot of time and it gives a lot of energy and it's important. But then of course I like sports a lot. I'm very competitive. So that's one of my properties as well. I'm a very competitive person. I hate losing. So I also run, and when I go running, I typically run on my own because I can then follow my own pace. And then I try to run very fast and build up and go faster and faster and faster. So that's a major hobby of mine. I also do some power training. And again, there I have an app to track it, and I want to do more and more and more. So that's why what gives me so much energy. So sports gives me a lot of energy, and reading a lot of books. If I have a physical limitation, which is time, like anyone else, but if I would have more time, I would read way more. So I love reading multidisciplinary. So this means not only about water. I read a lot about psychology, history, biographies, finance, economics, nature, physics, like all of the disciplines you can imagine I'm reading about. This is my favorite hobby, actually, reading next to the sports.
Okay, I'm noticing that gardening might be a hit with the guys, because Oliver also mentioned that he loves to spend time in his garden. So that's quite interesting. Okay, final 60 seconds of the podcast. Tell everybody, you know, where they can connect with you and what to look out for in 2024 from WIM.
Yeah, so they can definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is really the place to be, because that's really the social platform where I'm spending my time on most of the times, not the other ones. And then, of course, they can go to the AM team website, AM and then -team.com. Send us an email for sure. These are two ways you can connect with me, or send me a private email. And then, what are the things to go to look out for in next year? I think at the digital water end, very exciting things that are going to happen is some digital twins that will be going live. So we have existing treatment plants, and the digital twins will really go live with the real plants. Two of them in the Netherlands, and I think major milestones. But at the business level, we are working on quite some important strategic initiatives. I can't tell a lot about that right now yet, but these are definitely things to look for as well next year. I think our business is going to keep transitioning.
Perfect. Well, Wim, thank you for your time and this discussion. It was very fruitful. I learned a lot, and it's an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Erin. So the pleasure was mine, really.
Awesome. Thank you to everyone who listened. As usual, stay tuned. We have some more podcast episodes coming up. And of course, you know that you can connect and engage with the Digital Water Program and the steering committee members on the IW Connect Plus platform and through our newsletter. We'll put all the links in the bio. So again, Wim, thank you, everybody who has tuned in. Thanks again, and I'll hear you in the next episode. Goodbye.